Thank you for being with us this morning. And let's pray for him. So stretch out an arm, a hand, a leg, whatever. So Lord, we just thank you for this brother, and we thank you for what he brings. We thank you, God, for the culture that he carries. Thank you that he is going to he's going to breathe out the glory of God as he brings forth the word of God to this house. And so we bless him and just thank you, God, for bringing him here this morning. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen.
That's right. Thank you, sir. Wow. Thank you. All right. What an honor to be with you. Denver has always been my special place, actually. It's a very special place because I've been there. I've been whenever I come, whenever I go to a different country, I always plan somehow the plans of my flights is arranged from Arkansas to Denver to different countries. I don't know why, but I know now. I've been here, I think I was here once before where I was taken to this amazing baseball match. The guy who played, I don't know his name, is Rocky, some famous guy invited me, and he had his photograph all over the stadium. I didn't know. I had no clue what baseball is. You're coming from a country that baseball is. You have no idea. We only know what cricket is. We have one bat and one ball. Make sure the ball goes out of the boundary. But you don't have all these players all around you. I was so confused, but constantly, because he tries to teach me. One of my friend, the famous guy who's doing this field, and he makes me sit right to the close to the the ground. Just fascinating the culture here. I mean, it's so busy. I mean, so many people cheering for a ball. There's all these people trying to catch. It didn't make any sense for me because in India, for me, that crowd come to worship God. That crowd come to recognize, oh, there is a God. I want to see and experience him in my... Come on. In my lack, I want to absorb this God. And when I come to this place, they're absorbing these hot dogs. Amazing hot dogs, though, seriously. I never had a hot dog like that before. But it was fun. It was fun. It was really fun to really see what's happening. But this time when I wanted to come down, it's just when the Lord said that I'm coming down, it was amazing. I'm happy. My team, my good friend, excuse me, Amanda is an amazing. She and her husband. Have been gracious to host me and try to make this all happen. And thank you, Pastor, for having me. It's such an honor to be honest to you, to place yourself with like-minded people. Come on. When you place yourself with the like-minded people, you know there is guaranteed leveling of the mountains. Oh, you didn't get it. You did not get it. My God today is about to leveling your mountains that's stopping you to see the other side of the mountain. I'm not here just to come share share just my experience. I'm here to, come on, activate the word in you so you can level your mountain. So that mountain that is in you trying to block you away for another, come on, level of understanding, where enemies put this huge mountain of understanding what this Kurana Sekiri in it. Am I allowed to speak in tongues? Good. I was preaching in a Methodist church a few weeks ago. I don't know why they brought me in. They brought me in on Easter Sunday. Seriously. That was so fun to preach God in a Methodist church who just sit there. It was fun. It was really fun to see. I preached on a topic called disruptive Jesus. Like, what? Daddy, he's a funny God. You know, he just gives us topics that it rules our perception of what God is. Who? Are you a disruptive God? Yes, he's a disruptive God. He disrupted the whole physical notion of understanding death. When death happens, you are integrated in the soil. Disruption happened, the soil could not hold the power. Oh, you didn't hear that. Good job, Ravi. What did you say? Repeat that again. The soil could not hold, or the tomb could not hold. Ah, come on. Come on. Could not hold the existence this ark of God coming into a tomb. Could tomb said, oh my goodness, the ark is here, the ark of God is here, how can I I cannot bring death to this ark of God? Remember that? The ark of God himself had to move into a tomb, and the tomb facilitated the process. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Every problem is waiting for me to facilitate God in the problem. Oh, I'm already started. It's so good when you assist and you define God in the tomb which was used for death, and the doom and the tomb could not hold, matter of fact was prepared to radically bring out the ark of God into the lack personalities. Come on. Because lack limits me. But the fullfulness outabounds everyone's revenues. I am outbound to reveal God in someone's revenues. You see, I love my team because they are so crazy in love with God. They constantly know how to put me into an uncomfortable place. I love it. I love my team. And not just Amanda, almost all of my team, they know their God, which really makes me feel uncomfortable constantly to go to places. Yesterday was that one of the uncomfortability that God brought, God made. Kurana Sekiri. A few months ago, I was in. Not months ago, last year, I was about to go to. Well, the Lord told me to go to Switzerland. I told my team that we are supposed to go to not Switzerland, Brazil, And far behold, my team knows the Lord want me to put me into trouble, more trouble. And they said, well, Ravi said, I did say, but God wants me to go to this favela. It's called favela, favela. I didn't know what favela is in Brazil. Favela is a place where all the drugs happen. All the illegal things happen. The Lord told me to tell my team, tell the team in Brazil that that I want to go to this place to meet the drug lords. And I thought drug lords means in India, we only work, drug lords have this little bit of, gun, a little bit of this, little bit of gun and a little bit of this knife. And I thought, it's okay. I can still go that. Yes, exactly. Uncomfortable place. He makes me go there. I'm making the story short. Every time I go, every time I know that he puts me, he gives me a new assignment, I know there is something that he wants me to make. Yes, he wants me to make him famous. At my weakness of saying, I'm not comfortable in this place, Daddy. Did you know that? You take me to different country where these guys are not fun people. Drug lords in Brazil, they don't just be quiet. They kill you. And I go there and I hear the stories. And I told this pastor saying, I'm coming there and I want to go to this place. And the pastor said, Pastor, don't do this. Don't do this. This place, the address that you gave is a place that no one should go. They just brought, a week back, they brought down this helicopter, the cops' helicopter. A week back, they put down a helicopter down on the ground. They killed hundreds of cops. Christians are not allowed inside. There is no way you should go. My team says, well, the Lord told Ravi they have to go. They could have protected me, said the Lord told him we can do something else different for Lepa, whatever that is. But my team pushed me to go to that place. So we go there, all of a sudden, as soon as I go, here's this all these norms that we need to follow. The car needs to be emptied, the car needs to be checked, and I go there. As soon as I go inside this colony, they're filled with amazing, huge men carrying this huge AK-47. And he says, Ravi, this is where I want to bring revival. I said, good God, you're going to do it, right? Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. And all of a sudden, to make the story short, we don't know what happened. I mean, I see this gazubas, tons of, gazubas is like that, this big thing. I don't know whatever that is, word, English word. I'm learning English these days. This gazubas walking around nakedly everywhere without fear. They're carrying these gazubas in motorbikes around. And I said, Daddy, this gazubas, I'm sure one of these killed last week cops. How can you bring me here? I mean, I don't know what is that you want me to do here? And these people are busy people. They're not going to hear me. All of a sudden, he says, Ravi, do you look at these men playing the football or soccer? Bring them all together. I will share it through you. I said, my team, guys, do you mind? Let's go gather up all these people. They say, yes. They had no clue that I don't know. I'm shivering. My legs are shivering. Their legs are getting excited. Lo and behold, all these men come together. I don't know what I shared. I shared this gospel. And I said, guys, if you want to hear my Jesus bring a total transformation called radical Jesus coming into your hearts, this is your time to put your feet, put your knees down on in the midst of everybody that know you, come to Jesus. I tell you, every single person came down on their knees. I don't know what I did. All I did is preached the gospel. I didn't reveal the secrets. I didn't reveal what is going to happen. All I did is share the gospel, a simple gospel that touched heaven, which made their hearts accepted. That was nothing but heaven's target on that particular event. And all of a sudden, all these people who went down on their knees ran to their people. And they said, this guru from India is here. he just did something in my heart that there's something happening. You got to hear him speak. And we went around these places revealing God. And everywhere we went, we saw knees coming down to get to know Jesus. This is 1 year back. The next day, the pastor calls me. And I said, Pastor, you need to come right now. I want to share some important things. And I said, what is it? And I go there. I go to the next day. And I said, he shows me a newspaper. And the newspaper talks about the same guys who shot the helicopter, the same guys who had so many weapons. They gave away their weapons. They gave away the drugs. They gave away millions and millions of dollars to the cops. And the newspaper takes a photograph. They say, we don't know what happened. All these people gave their lives to Jesus. I mean, it's on the Facebook. It's still the talk of the town in Brazil, that this community of thugs becoming preachers today. Today. Why? He used a donkey who was still available to make recommend him in the unknown area where the unknown was fighting against the limitation of being survival. Because what we do out of survival mode, we protect what we know is ours. When you bring in a total transformative God into a place where lack is dominated, because transformation is known to understand Jesus in a known area. Okay? Did you get that? I'm going to teach a little bit differently, because we worship a God who gives us sometimes no choice to understand and me to preach this gospel or this teaching today. It's funny because when God chose in India while I was there, I lived in India from all my life until 2 years back. He chose me to speak to me audibly because he understood that he is coming against 3.5 million gods in India. He had to be different than every other gods who dominated India still today under the condition of shame, guilt, and bitterness. these three constantly revolve them to be controlled by someone's perspective. To know that unless you follow these principles that we know that you cannot go against, you are safe. Come on, guys. 2 weeks back, I was in Switzerland. Some of you are like Switzerland people. Just kidding. It was, I could not understand why God could, why would God have to speak to me, to the a guy who have no clue what should, who I am, in the justification of, I should be dead by now, at 17 years old. I was not a good man, I was not a productive man, but I was scared, I was constantly running away from somebody who I think that I could be killed by someone who might come in the name of, I'll trust you, but I'm going to kill you. Because I was not a good man. Though my parents were pastors, I lived a life of a lifestyle that I chose, because I, as every pastor's son, could you participate with me? If you understand, if you agree with me, do you mind raising your right hand? Yeah? Because your participation is heaven's target on you. Ooh. If I don't participate, it is a participation of my, can I be honest? My pride, knowing that I don't, it's not disagreeing, I don't, this is zzz. But for me, in 17 years old, I was moved with fear, knowing that I am no good, that no one loves me, I have to have a life beyond the life of suffering. I have to know that death is my last place, because I lived a life of in India. I was a hitman. You know what hitman is? Yeah, we take orders. I took orders to do things, because I don't want to go into details, because I need to preach. But the Lord told me, my testimony is, and obviously I think it's in YouTube, Intertube, whatever that tube is. Yeah. So you should be able to see that this testimony. But Daddy transformed me so well that I cannot put words to what he got me saved from. He so transformed me. And he used that transformation for me to enable me into places where nobody could go or want to go. My dad was a priest, a Hindu priest, before he got saved. He was a fascinating man. He was a very wealthy, wealthy, wealthy man. Because he was a Hindu priest, he was a Brahmin, he was a high caste guy. And all of a sudden he got saved with a small tract that talked about where would you go after you die. For 22 years he was a priest. A small tract talked to him. And he literally transformed that with one tract. Tracts work. And he came home, this is before marriage, he comes home, comes to his parents and say, hey, I got saved because this word is talking about totally different association of my challenge or my assumption of these gods who think I have to do these things in order to come back as a human being in the next birth. Otherwise, I might come back as a cockroach. Or a monkey. But this gospel says, I become righteous, and the righteousness I flow in outperforming my perception of joy, and he gives me ultra, ultra, ultra joy that no one can explain it. And he goes home, and they got offended. My dad did not stop there. He was coming against offense of everybody, but he was stopped. But that stopping did not stop him. That stop took him to another journey to understand God in a theological seminary. He went there, he was studying, he at the second year seminary, he died physically. When he died physically, they put him in 2 days mortuary, waiting for his parents to come to pick up the dead body, because he had a cholera disease, cholera. Those days, it was disease which didn't have significant amount of medication. They were figuring out the medication for cholera. He died physically. 2 days he was in mortuary. On the second day, it seems somebody showed up in his mortuary, said, Joseph, this is not your place. Wake up! He wakes up and he sees this white guy disappear. And he sees all these mortuaries or dead bodies around him. He screams. The watchman screams outside. And he walks out with a certificate called death certificate. And walks into his own school that he was dead before. His own his own people carried the dead body to mortuary, gave him the last journey he could have gone to, and his parents are waiting for the dead body to come. And he goes home being dead before, alive at the present tense. Walking into his own mortuary, whatever that function or whatever that thing that we call it as, funeral. They dug the hole, the photograph was placed, and all of a sudden this guy shows up. It rattles. It has to be a rattling experience for these people. I wish I had a video camera before I was born. Yeah. And people had to accept him. How could you not accept him when a dead person was raised with a certificate said you were dead? The village got saved that day. In 3 months, he destroys the temple that he used to serve for 22 years. He destroys that and makes that as a church. Builds a church on the foundation where enemy used it as a principality's house. Now it's a principality's of heaven. Come on. Yes, we work in the world in the principalities, not the flesh and the blood. But we also know there's a principalities of heaven. Ah! I work with that. I don't know about you. Come on, agree with me, guys. Agree with me. Ah! The principalities are formed not to save me, to kick my butt. Is that a good word? I'm learning English, guys. I'm sorry. Yeah. This guy called Dave King is a fascinating man of God. He's the one who's teaching me English. He's been to jail for 62 times, but he's a multimillionaire. But he was the one first. Anyways, I'll go to that. But just anyways, he's a good teacher, but not a good teacher. My wife says, don't learn from him. He teaches me some things called, it doesn't matter. Anyways. So all of a sudden, my dad, I don't know why, with the transformation he had, he comes to his village, makes this church a fascinating church, and it's not only his town got saved, the community, other communities wanted to know what really happened. And this Hindu guy, a Hindu priest, who used to be our judge, now he is promoting. Wow. Promoting a fascinating new information that nobody has. And he takes this message of transformation, comes to city where I was born, because he got married to my pastor's daughter. And he gives birth to two awesome kids called Ravi. I'm just kidding. Yeah. And Ravi is my little sister. And just growing up, he gave away everything of his known agenda, known territory, walked into unknown territory, and wanted to share gospel to people that who do not know who Jesus is. He did it well. He did it well. The problem in doing that well, he revolved. Are you ready? He revolved with a transformation, not radical transformation. Ooh. Transformation is a strategy. A strategy of wanting to preach the gospel in unknown territory, which is called in business world risk. Because when you know that there needs to have a strategy, you know you might fail. Right? But in every failing, he said, I'll do the same thing again because I'm not going to fail. What is he doing? He is not only making that effort so important, he's taking that failure effort to a next place, and he's cautious from the past failure. And he becomes called Baptist rather than Pentecostal. He became a Southern Baptist preacher. Really? You were dead, Dad. You were dead. It never happens to a Baptist. You became a Baptist. Why? And he gave me the Baptist doctrines from the day I was born. And he was so into Baptist, which is a different form to repeat the same thing again so he can feel safe. Ah, come on. What's that? Yeah. The Baptists know that. Yeah, they do know that's not safe. But we all know that's not safe. We still stick to it. Come on. You guys are making me tired. I'm not here. I'm here with a specific purpose. This world, America, needs to know a message. It's not known yet. It's forming its present tense, not just to past tense. It's forming into a place where new territory, going to new territory, thinking that I'm bringing new things, but they're not bringing new things. They're bringing the forms that worked before. Somebody get that? Because what's really happening is, when Jesus said in Mark 6. He said, or Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, he said, the fox have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. What is he saying? He's saying, come on, are you ready? What he's saying is not literally a house he can go to, because I know my Jesus, he had a house wherever he went. Every city he went, he had a house. Lazarus, Bartholomew, a house of every city had a house. And he told his disciples, go there and bring the donkey. And if anybody asks, tell the master wants it. And the master said, okay, the master wants it, please take it. Why? He transformed that mind of being a possessor of a donkey released in a word of a master. Did you get that? See, it is fascinating to me because when he said, I have no house to lay my head, he's not talking to me from a literal point of view. He was saying, when you, because in Matthew 20, he says, the young man wanted to follow him. That's all he wanted to say. Jesus, I want to follow you. Jesus, I want to follow you. Can you imagine following Jesus? every time he does a miracle, I wanted to be the chairman of that miracle. I wanted to be the president when he rose Lazarus and called that Seventh-day Adventist community of lovers of Jesus, and I wanted to be the president for it. I wanted to follow him, knowing how he works, knowing how he does in that farms. I wanted to build his farm church. But Jesus said, no, I don't have place. I don't have a place. When you follow me, you're falling for a miracles, which is good. But in the miracles, there is no place for me to put my head into. Seriously. Why is he saying that? In Mark 6, why is he saying that? In Mark 6, he says this. Matthew 8:20 talks about Mark 6, which says, his own household did not accept him. Why? When you discover your purpose, you create displacement, you discover your purpose. No, you didn't get it. The reason the Lord was trying to say something called I don't have place, because whenever you follow Jesus, you're discovering your purpose. Come on. You're discovering your purpose, because God does not come to you to tell you what happened to your past and revolve around the past and make you feel safe in the past. But he takes you to unknown territory to allow you to be uncomfortable with Jesus. Why? Discovering your purpose makes you displace your whatever you want to say. Did you get what I'm trying to say? This is the first time I'm preaching. We preachers have 5 different sermons, right? Every preacher has these 5 different sermons. We preach this one sermon, another sermon. We continue to preach all these 5 sermons. But Daddy, he never does that to me. Stinker God. He always wanted to preach fresh word. Because in fresh is someone transforming to become a radical man who is transformed from transformation. Discovering purpose displaces you. It's not you coming out of something, but you don't know where you're going to fit. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on. We all have that. We don't know how to fit ourselves into some areas where I'm come out from the destiny I think I know, but I don't know where to fit me into. It's a psychological onus. Trying to make me fit into places that I don't know how to fit. It is one of the things that heaven loves to see me. See me constantly going to places. I don't know how to fit myself into these places where I don't know. I don't know this area. I don't know this territory. I don't know this place. Daddy, I don't know. When he transformed me, I came with transformation into knowing who God is, but did not understand what God is going to be. He's not a changing God. He yesterday, today, forever, he's going to be the same. But he places me to know him in a new way, that I would become radically transformative, so that my assumptions of yesterday's theology would outperform the theology of today. You see that? The problem with not fitting in places is because Jesus could not fit himself in his own hometown. As soon as he was sharing the gospel, amazing word he was sharing in Mark 6. People were fascinated by it. What is he saying? The things that I never thought I would know. He's talking about it. His words are so unique. Who is this guy? All of a sudden they figured out and say, oh my goodness, he is the... Yeah. I know him. We know him. We know whose son he belongs to. We know his brother. We know his sisters who come to our church too. What happened? As soon as they compared him to his brothers and sisters, we don't know what really happened. You are about to see the change in your life today. You're about to see radical transformation in your lives that you will never experience before. Because my God is a unique God. He gave me a green card which I never applied for. Did you know that? He put a photograph in the green card which I never took. My wife Julie, who's an American, she's shocked. I am shocked. My lawyers are shocked. God takes a photograph with his shirt of heaven. I never had a shirt like that before. He picks a shirt from heaven. He puts onto this, my shirt, my body, and takes a photograph, passes a green card, physical green card, sends to my address with the U.S. government. And I go to immigration offices. They say, what happened? You came 1 month back and you got the green card and your name is all registered in social security numbers. Who gave you that? I said, I know the best Photoshop guy in the world. I know a guy who knows me better because he knows he does not allow transformation to stop him, called forms of someone's success. But he knows that I need my son to transform radically because he loves radical transformation. He understands, oh my goodness, he understands in unknown territory what I'm going to be for him. Discovering you into who God is your displacement into radical transformation, not shame. Yeah. I've been doing this system that I used to call Daddy's Method. Everybody say Daddy's Method. I know you're somewhere else freaking out. I said, what? Daddy Smith? I named this Daddy Smith saying, yeah, you know, that's a form of counseling. I can't use the word counseling because I'm not trained in America. Psychologically. I was trained in India as psychology, and I could not bring that credits to here to make me a psychologist. But doesn't matter who I am. Daddy gave me a fundamental associating me into being radical, rather be go-to transformation, which knows what I did before, I can do it again. So what is the strategy? What is the strategy of the transformation? Transformation is nothing but knowing who to follow. You see? In other words, what the Lord was trying to say, people could not understand me. What they do? What happened there? The Sadducees and Pharisees, what happened? They got offended when they put him into place of their brothers and sisters. We know you, but we know your parents. We know your brothers and sisters who've been, we don't know what they did when from 12 to 30 years old. We don't know really what happened then. But they put him into this condemnation and saw that as being offensive because Jesus was not prepared to associate himself in their norms, right? Now, because what happened to Jesus is happening to us too. Psychologically, we don't know how to make ourselves explain to the ones who care about us, but they don't want to. They don't care what we want, what we hold called discernment, because they're holding a perspective of my weakness of yesterday. Because yesterday they saw my failure. But they don't know who I am today. They're basing on perspective of a failure and dominating me from their perception of a failure dominating me today. It is a natural process of knowing my perspective versus discernment. Every Christian is supposed to be ruling from discernment, not perspective. We lost its power by allowing someone's hurt, which formed their doctrine. You didn't get it. Someone got offended by somebody, he started Methodist. Someone got offended, he started Seventh-day Adventist. God did not show up and say, start the Baptist. I didn't read any books about somebody showing up and writing these books on how God taught him this. You see, hurt, being offensive, it allows me to stop at someone's growth. You see? Sadducees saw him outside their growth. I want you to get it. Yes. Because someone's growth is saying, this is what my comfortability is, and I want to stay here because going further, I might lose what I have. But somebody is growing, but I'm not gonna grow him because I stopped here. He just stopped there. Am I teaching something? Are you understanding? Am I good in English? Good. Yeah, he said, oh, come on. Let's pray for him. Just kidding. In other words, what God is trying to say, my God is not a strategy guy. He's a God called operations. What does operation do? Operations know what the end result is. And he knows, if you follow this, I will give you that. Because in this, I'm going to stay with you. Because I'm a GPS guide who's not somewhere, but I'm with you, trying to tell you, you don't know the address, but I know because I've already been there, walked back for you, so that my strength is a covering in your weakness. A few months ago, in this daddy Smith, when I brought this to this world, I thought, Dad, how would I bring this model called Daddy's Method to heal the mind and connect this mind to the heart? Because we work. Why? Because when you understand the seed of God and is planted in a rocky, not in a thorny place, the seed that has been planted in a thorny place has power to grow in the midst of thorns. How is that? It was choked. Because there was other voices I'm listening to in the place of the seed. I wanted this seed, but I am also sowing other seeds. Just so you know, I might fail here, I might go here. Good word. Back up. My God is such a profound God. He talks, he just reveals full and gives us a little bit. Little bit of understanding. In other words, guys, I could not understand. I did about 8,162 cases are people who really wanted to get out of transformation to radically see God. But this transformation, when they come with behaviors, memories, emotions, and last, spiritual authority. Did you get that? They come with behaviors, memories, emotions, and then spiritual authority. When they come with these behaviors, because we are all behaviors, right? See? Yes? This is yes in America. This is yes in India. Because we are all formed around behaviors connected to memories, connected to emotions, memories, then spiritual authority. Spiritual authority. In other words, when they come with concept of, I don't like this behavior in me, Daddy sees his plan, because these guys who have hungerness know that this circle of influence which is causing me to go back to the same place again and again, I don't know how to get out of that rut. They recognize their time has come. They're fitting psychologically is bombarded with opinions on someone. You could do that, you can do this, but everything that they did revolved on someone's perception, not discernment. Yes, yes. Am I coming from point one, point two, point three? Yeah, slowly. Daddy made me study in Bob Jones University. You know what Bob Jones University is? I don't know why I studied. He made me, forced me to study. Bachelor's and master's in divinity. I don't know how. But I understand the purpose of me going to Bob Jones University, because word comes first before the voice. Faith only comes by listening to the voice of God. The word births significance, not my assumption of what I could do with God. In other words, these people come have found all of these one word, if I can say, all of them in this country I've coached, I've trained, because he gives me this 4 weeks process with me. And every week, the first week at 1 hour's time, they come with a behavior, knowing that, Ravi, can I fit you somewhere? Daddy's method, it looks like sozo. Oh, it is like living waters principle. Oh, this is psychology. Oh, that is this. No. That's where we make a mistake, trying to put me in my brother's place. Sozo is my brother. That guy loves me. I love him too. I love those guys who did this, all these counseling methods. They have power. But understanding this, because when you, in other words, I take them through this process and understand how God has manifested himself. Because every time you begin your life, you begin accepting a personality, but you were not born with personality. Did you get that? This is out of psychology. Psychology doesn't teach you. He made me study 722 books of psychology. Worst part of my life. He made me study because he wanted me to study. He wanted to know the guy who is outside us, who is much, he knows psychology very well, called enemy. Because he's the best behavioral analyst, right? Because he's been here for a longer time than for any other human being. He knows human beings. But he knows he's coming against a creator who created psychology. Recently, the Lord, just fascinating, because once in that 1 week time, a person gets healed. Oh my goodness, he is totally, radically transformed to understand, my God is out there. I'm going to go get him there. Doesn't matter what's going to happen to me. Because radical gives you hungerness. The hungerness makes you fit among your enemy. Did you know that? He makes your table before your enemies. Because your enemies recognize, oh my goodness, this guy has something to offer. This guy from Arkansas, it's fascinating story to me, because all his 9 years' time, I don't know what happened. All I did is, Ravi, I said, Josh, do you believe in God that you can give away your job today? Give away a job today for God. American. Today. Last year. I could not understand. I didn't know why I said that. He took it literally. I thought I'd give him set of cinnamon, or whatever that parable is. Yeah, whatever the word is. I gave him, as soon as he heard it, he said, I got healed. I see things differently for my wife. My wife got healed because my radical transformation has hit my wife, and my wife agreed with my radical transformation. Tomorrow, I'm going to go home. I'm going to go to my office, give away my job, my security. Well, I have 4 kids. I have a new house. I cannot depend on giving away a job. It's my security, which has been 15 years of time. Why would I give it up? He didn't ask why, but he said, how can I assist my God? He gave it up. He gave it up in the morning. He comes back in the evening and he goes to a house worship center, a house worshiping. And then one guy shows up and says, here's your check. Here's your check. I want to give you a check. 1 year's worth of salary. And 1 week of that second week of training, he said, Ravi, you cannot believe what happened. A guy who used to earn $3,500, now in 4 weeks, I could not believe it. He's talking about 2 million business he put together in 1 month's time. Why? He understood a God in the acts of my father. Moses said it. Moses said it. What did he say? He said, God, I want to understand you, but I'll understand you when I understand your acts. Whew. The understanding your works is my security. Your church is going to blow. Understanding the acts of God is understanding his discernment of impossibility. Why? He says, hey, here's my operation. My operation is, I'm not Kurana Sekiri. My operation is, if you repent of your old perspectives and come to me every day forgetting that you have a business to go to, that your first business is my promises, aligning yourself in the promises, not on perspectives. Promises is the agenda of a new covenant. Bible says that. We have a better covenant. Did you know that? In Hebrews chapter 8, it says we have a better covenant. Establishing the promises. The old covenant is established in rules that gives you more depth. And in all of these cases, all I see, loneliness sticked into behaviors. Yes, because of perspectives that nobody loves me, or realizing I don't fit anywhere. Psychologically, you're confined with a principality called guilt. Radical transformation takes you not... Are you ready? Ready? Radical transformation, what it does is, it allows guilt be your trigger point to meet your God. Because every time you listen to your father, you repent from your old ways, that is giving you a trigger to a new way where you will be the power utilizing God's authority to bring down your mountain to your level. In all I'm saying is, what did Jesus do? He used an operation. Okay, you don't receive me? I'm going to release my power in Mark 6. I'm going to release my power into my 12 disciples. You will not receive me. Yes, I know you will not receive me. But I'm going to give them the power. Chapter 6, verse 7, 8, and 9. I will send them in my name to free from the principality, not from demons. How does demon possesses you or oppresses you? It comes to a breeding ground called guilt. But when when you receive the power, you know the power is not an anointing that stops you from moving forward. It becomes an unstoppable agent. All it begins with your repentance unto your old perspective and acknowledge discernment is mine. Your discernment is mine. My discernment is mine. Your discernment is mine. My perspective is no more mine. I want to be ruled by discernment, which acknowledges my dad for tomorrow. Isaiah 46, how much do I have? Two minutes. Your pastor's bad. I'm just kidding. He's very good man. He gave me 1 hour to preach. I passed 1 hour, but I know that. But in India, I preach 4 hours, so it's a good one. But it's in other words, the way he does this, my God does this, Isaiah 46 verses, he says, I have set the end from the beginning. What does it mean? What it means is, he's a God does not look at your beginning. He looks at your your end to form your beginning. Perspective says, I need to know my beginning. But discernment says, look for God to your destiny. Discernment says, what can you do with your father? Perspective says, what can you do? How can you go forward with your failure? It's going to happen again. How can you bring this psychology? You're coming against so many. There are 8.5 million psychology today in America. Did you know that? So many little bit of understanding of psychology. Everybody ruled by how is daddy's mother coming to come and just no, there's no way you're gonna win, Ravi. That's what my father-in-law said. He's a good man. He's a logical person. But he didn't know who I worship. My dad said, Ravi, well, you have any sense in your mind? You have 214 churches in India. Each church has 1,200 to 800 people. You have a work to do. You disappoint me for going back to States. We have work here. We have work in Calgary. We have work in Canada. You cannot leave Canada. You cannot leave Canada. Could you stand? Come on. Could you all three stand? Come on. These guys are from Canada. Can you understand that? These guys are from Canada. What the Lord says is, these are the agents who's going to bring a total radical transformation, not just in Canada, to here, to parts of America, who they will see a new understanding from old perspective. I love it. You're not meant to be in Canada. Yes, that's your home. Fox have home. The birds have home. Yes, they create their formation. They create their house just because any money comes, I can go to my hole. They run around the house they create. It is a safe place. It's a safe place. Perspective is a safe place. They build a house. I mean, I go to many, many conferences. The first thing I want to ask is, where's my hotel? As soon as I get into the city, I said, where's my home? Where's my hotel? Somehow psychologically, I feel safe to find myself, to unravel myself in a place that I can. Your home is radical transformation, not transformation. That means, what is that you're telling me when there is a defensiveness happening to me now? Oh. Guys, revival is happening today. A new birth is happening today. I don't know if you know that. Amanda did not come to you just because she said, oh, I'm going to put my brother into a challenging group.
You're not challenging at all. She said, these are amazing people. But the enemy said, Ravi.
This idiot comes to me. This is when God can give me a green card. He can send me Lucifer to see me. See? Yes? He sends me. I know. Being a Baptist, I don't like to be weird. Can I be weird? Can I be weird? Are you okay? Yeah? Am I safe place? If I am safe place, raise your left hand. Somebody's not raising. I'm kidding. You know, God is so in love. He's so in love with you, sir. Things that happened to you shouldn't have happened to you at 3 years old. Shouldn't have happened. And trust is a constant issue at every success level. Man of God, I've been praying for you. It's not about shame you're struggling from. It's where can I fit myself? You came today. Can I be honest? Let's not be honest, actually. But to be honest to you, the enemy wanted you bad. Because he knows you're functioning with your father. He knows if his father comes to him at an expiry date, that is today, that enemy knows it is his expiry date on you. Things happen. In other words, can I talk to you later? Yeah, let's exchange the phone numbers. I want to talk to you. In other words, Where was I? Yes. It's not me going back to where I really feel secure. I go back where a house is built, wherever I go. You want to hear your promises? Because the promise is what takes you to the next level. Isaiah 43. Let's open the Bibles. This is you. This is for you, not for me. Isaiah 46, 43, verse 16. Verse 16 to 21, it says, thus saith the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and paths through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariots and horses, an army and the power, they shall lie down together, they shall not rise. Did you hear that? He brings everyone's perception into depth before you go forward. Everyone's curse on you from starting from your parents, starting from your parents who wanted to guard you so well, who didn't want to grow you to from their mistakes. They didn't want their mistakes to come upon you. They're good parents. Come on. They were good. But they are fearful of letting you do the same thing what you did before. But someone in this room didn't want their rules to control them. And they said, I want freedom, and let their freedom roll around the Their assumptions of freedom that is not supposed to be there, but God met them there because expiry date is happening now.
Yeah.
You're not done yet, sir. Revival is coming to this church, has come today. Amen. In other words, I talked a lot today. Can I buy this video? Yeah? Yeah? Thanks. Because every time you hear God, because you're hearing from a new perspective, which gives you discernment. Perspective is a trigger to go to discernment. See? That is my closing elements. And this is your promise all through the scripture. He says, do not remember the former things. Not consider the things of the old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And the beasts of the field will honor me. The principality will honor you. Guilt will honor you. Shame will honor you in saying, let me take you to a creator who is the ark of God waiting for you to visit him. Come see my God. His will is your wilderness. Your wilderness. I'm finishing here. I'm not finishing actually. Because my God is not yet done yet. My God is not done. I'm in the sermon, I'm finishing now. Your wilderness is a roadmap for a living water to flow through your wilderness. Your wilderness is a roadmap for a river to flow through. Your kids who are not saved yet is a wilderness for you to see your son coming here. What's your kids' names? Yes. Joshua. I want to see that dude. Where is he now? Have him call me, okay? That dude is this fascinating brain. How old is he? Whew. Expiry date is on him. You have done well, sir. No shame. You have done well. Joshua is coming to know the Lord just because your faithfulness. Can you imagine that? Mm-hmm. Your faithfulness made your family safe. Noah's family was protected by one man's faith. Common sense? Yes. Noah's family was protected by one man's faith. Your faith is protecting your family. Your repentance is protecting your family. Could we all stand? Could we all stand? Worship leaders. Yeah, worship. If you don't mind. I know I've never did this before, but I want to do it today. I want to do it today. The whole sermon today is based on me trying to fit in someone's atmosphere. See? Yes? But the whole sermon of radical transformation is you're already fitted. He's made a table, a chair for you. So because your faith is recommending heaven to work on your behalf. I'm excited for today. Actually, I don't know what's happening this afternoon. We're doing a session somewhere. My team knows. She knows how to make me feel good. We're doing a session on... What are we doing on? Memories. Memories. How does the enemy use our memories to outperform? And It's good. I love it. I'm excited. But today is your day. It's your day. It all begins. It all begins in your repentance. A revival cannot be birthed without me repenting. What is the repentance is? Repenting is, I see my route is troubling me. I see what I want from God, and I'm ready to repent. Reviewing my ability into promises of God. If you are that one person, so you close your eyes for a minute. It's so key today. It's so key today for me to understand revival is what is missing in this community called USA. At your repentance is radical transformation is created. Just as your destiny creates, your discovering yourself creates creates this unusual feeling of unfitness. The same thing happens to radical transformation. Happens only at your repentance. Unless you repent, radical transformation cannot see its roots happening in our lives. If you are that person, guys, it's time to say to the enemy, saying, you are done today for me. I am a radical transformed person because my transformation is under the surveillance of my repentance unto God. To God is your convincing too. If you are that person, guys, if you're closing your eyes, if you know you need a change in your life, repentance is the key. Repent for what happened in your past. Repent for your parents. Repent from that one person who had power over your life. Repent for him. Pornography cannot stay in this home. Jealousy cannot stay in this home. Greed cannot stay in this home. And all the principalities of the enemy cannot stay. If you are that person, guys, if you are that person really wanting to see a radical transformation happen in your life, repentance is the key. If you are the person, walk forward, understanding that you are giving your life in repentance to God. And wherever you are, ask the Lord, Daddy, I repent from my sin. I repent from my sin. Sin is self-inflicting pain. Self-inflicting inflicting nature that I inflicted myself from this perspective constantly. If you're that person, it's good time. It's your time. It's your time to set this right. Set this right with your God. With your God. And He's ready. He's ready to give you, to show you which cities, what to do, where to go. Because your repentance is at the wait. Is at that wait. Is at that touching door, knocking door that you are walking into. I'm not here to give you a message of gloomy and this judgment message. No, I'm here to give you a radical transformative God. And He's ready to give you the expiry date of the enemy in your life. If you're that person, wherever you are, repent over your sin, over that self-inflicting nature. Self-inflicting nature that somehow you accepted by someone's rule on your life. Repent from you accepting a personality of nobody loves me. Repent from the perspective that I have to be somebody. Otherwise, there is no acceptance. I'm talking to somebody. If there's anybody, this is not a place of shame. This is a place of change. Come on. Ask him. It's good. Let the revival begin in this nation. From this small town, from this Denver, revival take place. Repent to bring God into your community where you become a safe place for your community. Open your mouth and speak to the Lord. Open your mouth and say to the Lord, Daddy, I am guilty about me saying these things on this man of God. I am guilty of these things that this guy did on me. I am guilty. Daddy, I take away this guilt away from me. I surrender from away from self-inflicting nature of mine to be abide into the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I abide myself into that anointing, Daddy. Daddy, I bring myself to you. I'm ready to build a boat. I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do. I'm surrendering myself to you, Lord. I'm surrendering myself to you. Yes, Lord. Amen, Lord. If there's anybody here, come on up. By you coming out of your chair, that lets your brain tells you that you are going for a change. It's not by you standing somewhere God still gives you, but you're walking away from your chair tells you to your brain that you are no more my boss. Brain, you're no more my boss. Mind, you're no more my boss. Emotions, you're no more my boss. You're no more my controlling authority. I'm giving myself to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus. Because I'm repenting myself from away from perspectives that I've received from somebody or from me myself, from the disappointments that I've accepted. No more disappointments. disappointments from today. Repent from acknowledging the dependency of disappointments. Come on, come on, come on, come on, Lord. There's something that is happening in this community that that should flow into many other services. Let it begin. Let it begin the journey. Let it begin the journey of this new life into abundant life. Let this church be known as Abundant Life Church Movement. Abundant Church Movement. Abundant Church Movement. Abundant Church Movement. Let it begin. Let it begin. Let it begin. Don't stop, guys. Don't stop. Don't let your tears stop you. Let the tears come down. Let grow yourself. Groan yourself and saying, Daddy, Daddy, I repent from everything. Everything. I repent from codepending myself into some things. I repent, Daddy. Papa, I repent myself too. Yes, Lord, change me. Miracles is that wait at your repentance. The call of God is wait at your repentance. If you're still waiting, I don't know, why should I do it? It's not a denominational message. It is a call of God to turn to yourself and say, I need my God. I need my God. I need this God who radically transforms my brain. The enemy called perspective. Leave me now. Leave me now. Say it.
Leave me now.
The enemy of perspective. Leave me now. I'm going to say this, but all you get to say is leave me now. The enemy of the perspective. Leave me now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Forget about your kids. Forget about everybody. It's your time. It is for you. It's one man's faith. Made them whirl upside down. One man's faith. One man's recommending himself to God. It's your time. It's your time. Come on. There are 6 more people that needs come on, guys, come on. Don't wait for God to come to you. Go run to him. Say, Daddy, I'm going to follow you. I don't care of the house that I want to be safe into. I'm giving away my home. I'm giving away my facility. I'm giving away. Did you feel that? Did you feel that? Did you feel that shock on your head, ma'am?
Yes.
How was it?
It's good.
What was it like?
Like electricity.
Oh, I felt it. I felt it. This is a Baptist electricity. I felt in my hands. 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 It is not about me having it. It's you giving it away. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. This is the pool of anointing. Don't take it light. Don't take it light. Don't take it light. Did you feel it? Rest. Did you feel it? Come on, come on, come on. Yes, Daddy. Yes, Daddy. Yes, Daddy. Yes, Daddy. You want to raise some voice in the house of God? Raise it. You didn't hear me. If you want to raise some voice unto God, raise it. Raise. Speak it out. It's okay. Don't feel weird. You're safe place. Say it, Daddy. Speak. Cry. Shout. Don't wait. The Baptist guy is giving you permission. Shout! Let the Holy Spirit begin its journey now. Come, Holy Spirit. Let outpouring of the Holy Spirit happen now. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Check your pain of physical body. If there's anybody who needs physical body, it's already gone. It's already gone. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Who made the blind to see is moving here in front of me, is moving here in front of me. The one who made the deaf to hear, silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear. I believe in you.
Encourage you during worship today. The color blue was very, very evident to me. And I saw a couple of the kids carrying flags. And I asked the Lord, why are the essence of blue, why is it flying through the air? And he spoke very clearly about the word justice. And I just stayed there with him for a couple of minutes asking him about his justice. And I would refer to where we all have come and stand at this very moment, which is on Mount Zion. This is where you have come. This is where you stand, where angels upon angels are worshiping and you have come to the God whose justice makes men just. There is an anointing on the church to understand the justice of God. And I would say that part of the repentance this evening, and there was a woman that came up at the beginning and said that she had not been able to clearly see until today where her children and those that she had been waiting for to know the Lord. She's been waiting all this time, but today she saw them before the throne of grace. She saw them on Mount Zion. I want to encourage you that that was a prophetic announcement and declaration from the angel who's on assignment in your church, that you are to come into alignment with the angel that releases judgment. God's just judgment, not your judgment anymore. He's saying you can repent from your thinking of what your loved ones, what their hearts look like, what their minds look like. Because the God who makes all men just has judged them. And you stand here on Mount Zion with Jesus, who is the mediator of a new covenant made in his blood. And when his blood was shed, it meant that your recollection, your understanding could not mess with the blood that was shed in the new covenant. So even your understandings do not come into effect in what God is doing around you and because of your faith in this place. And then I asked the Lord, why is it that you would have me put my hands over my eyes? And he said, well, because that's what it looks like when the angels are covering their eyes with their wings. They're covering their feet. I said, why the eyes? And he said, because I want them to cover their eyes from what they have seen thus far, because you need to get ready for the shift. The angels did not believe they needed to look upon the Lord with their eyes. That's why they covered them. They didn't need them, because they already knew what was being released from the throne. And that's why they're crying, holy, holy, holy. It's because they don't need to even see him. But he wants to give you the eyes and the spirit of what is seen on Mount Zion before the throne of grace. I kept touching the back of my head. And oftentimes when I'm doing that, I'm putting the hand of healing onto the places of my memories that I thought could never be healed. And in that place, I recognize the physical healing that happens in our hearts, from hearts that have recognized or believed that hope is now gone. And again, I go back to the lady who announced over your church today that she shifted. She covered her eyes. She recognized holiness. And when she opened them, she saw the reality of what God has already made just. So I encourage you, the seraphim that covers their eyes, they have assignments. They have legions of angels. That angel of justice, of holiness, and of just shifting your perspective of justice. Lady in the blue shirt in the back that was on the instrument over here, all the way in the back. Yeah, healing, lots of healing on you, an anointing of healing. Even as you just touch keyboards everywhere you go, even your fingers, just your fingers, you just touch a person, you're going to release emotional healing rivers, just rivers and rivers and rivers. So just release that over you. Yeah.
I believe in you. I believe I believe in you, come on. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord, for everything you've done today. Thank you that we are in new beginnings.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
thank you, Jesus.